All right, once again, it's good to see everyone. I hope you had a good day, and we realize what an honor and privilege it is to be here this evening. God has truly blessed us. There's not a better place in the world to be than right here together in God's presence. I want to start off with a story. Maybe I've told you this story before, and from the scripture reading, what you can see on the screen there. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And this is a passage that I mention all the time for various reasons. I think it's a great passage. When we're talking about how to study the Bible, this is a good place to understand context and all of that. But I mention it all the time, right? Talking about the peace of God and the God of peace, right? But I was looking back at my records. I have, to my knowledge, I've never done a full sermon here, I don't even think anywhere, on this passage. And so I wanted to look at this mainly because it's kind of part two to our lesson this morning, right? Being victorious in our walk, and if you remember being washed, being sanctified and justified, and this is kind of the sanctification part, right? Living the sanctified life. What does that look like in a very real way? And so those are the reasons why I chose this passage here. A little more detail. A lot of it might sound familiar because, matter of fact, I think I did a Devo with this probably a month or two ago on a Wednesday, just kind of talking about some of these things, talking about habits. Here's my story. Maybe I've told it before. I don't know. When I was a young man in the Marine Corps, I was at Camp Johnson, which is right next to Camp Lejeune. And it was Marine Corps base, but there's a lot of naval personnel there because basically we were training second lieutenants and Navy corpsmen on, you know, infantry tactics and all that. So a lot of naval, well, anywhere in the Marine Corps, it's a lot of naval personnel. And so in the Marine Corps, anytime you went from point A to point B, you couldn't just walk. You're not allowed to walk. And Brother Michael can back me up on this. If there's two of you, well, I think it was 2 to 4, you had to walk in step, right? You had 2 abreast, 2 behind. If there was, you know, 5 or more, you had to have the ranking individual call cadence, and then you'd line up, and you had a march place. You just couldn't walk anywhere. And, you know, Marine Corps is really big on marching, doing it properly and all that. And so I don't remember where we're going, point A to point B. You know, maybe 6, 7, 8 of us, and we're just going along. And we weren't marching like we should have been marching. And the worst possible thing in the world happened. We were called out by a Navy, I think it was like a chief petty officer, right? And so it had been like the equivalent of a gunnery sergeant. I remember the ranks for the Navy. You know, none of us really care, but yeah. But he called us out. He said, "Hey, stop." And so, of course, you know, higher ranking, you got to stop. And he goes, and he begins to just lay into us for not marching properly. And we're thinking, this is a sailor telling us we're not marching properly? Now, we weren't like we should have been. And he made a statement that I'll always remember. He said, when Marines march like Marines, sailors want to be Marines. And I thought, yeah, that's a good, I like that. And how true that is, you know. And he was, after that, you know, even though he corrected us, we're kind of like, yeah, and we, you know, you puff your chest out a little bit, and we went down the road marching like we should have been marching. And so that's kind of always stuck with me. And, of course, with our theme for the year from Colossians 1:10, walking worthy, listen, when we walk worthy, those outside of Christ are drawn to Christ, right? Not only are we glorifying God with that worthy walk, that sanctified walk, but it truly does draw people to Christ, right? Those good people with the good hearts, right? Those truth seekers, that they're going to be drawn to Christ. And so looking at this text here, and again, kind of like this morning, I haven't looked at this PowerPoint probably since Monday, so kind of bear with me on this. I don't fully remember everything I have on there. So let's take a look at this, right? And so many times I've talked about this, about this is a great place to learn about a habit. Right, so if you look at verse 9, the things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do. And in the original language there, that phrase, these do, the Greek word is prosete, right? So it's second person plural. It's talking about you brethren, you Christians, these do. Right, and it carries the idea also of habitually doing something. Right, and again with the word learn there in the Greek emetheite, so it's the idea of learning by habit. Right, you're doing something and you're learning by doing it with repetition. And so in this, we're being taught how to walk the sanctified life by simply repetition, right? And this isn't, none of this is saying, again, like I mentioned this morning, none of this has to do with, you know, somehow earning your salvation. This is, even doing good things that become a habit and not doing them for the right reason can become a bad thing. Right, the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, right? Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus. Hey, you're doing all these great things, but what was the issue? You've left your first love. You're not doing it for the right reasons. So I think habits are good, kind of like, you know, showing up for Sunday evening worship, right? I guarantee almost everybody here, you know, when it comes to be about 5 o'clock, you know, maybe a little bit before, you're not like, should I go to church, should I not? You know, it's just what you do. Right? There's no question, should I go? It's like, no, we're going. Right? And so it's become a habit in a good way. Now, of course, we don't want to turn that into somehow we think just sitting in a pew earns us salvation. Right? So habits are good, but they can be bad. And the thing about habits, whether good or bad, it's been said you can learn a habit in 21 days, good or bad, but it takes up to 6 months to learn or to break a habit, good or bad. And so it's good that we do this. It's just part of what we do, but we need to do it for the right reasons. And so he's talking about learning something by repetition here. That's my whole point in this. So, you know, verse 13, right? Everyone knows verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now think about that. How do I do all things so that Christ strengthens, or your translation might say empower me? A lot of people refer to this passage all the time, right? But how do we get to the point where that statement is true? That now I can do all things for Christ strengthening me, right? Well, in verse 7 through 9 tells us how, right? And again, we've mentioned this many times. So he begins in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, by the way, and it'll guard your hearts and your minds, by the way, through Jesus Christ, right? So then he says, finally, brethren, so he's talking to Christians, for Christians, about Christians, how to live out their redemption in a very practical way. And we're going to focus on verse 8 in a moment. Jump to verse 9 again. So the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, right, these do by repetition, by practice. And what's the end result there? Well, the God of peace will be with you, right? So we've talked about this before, how that phrase, the peace of God and the God of peace, it's a Hebrewism. He's making a play on words, right? He's swapping it over in verse 9. And so it's a literary device that ancient writers especially would use. So to get the peace of God and the God of peace, it's basically arrows pointing you to what's in the middle. So if you want the peace of God and the God of peace, look at verse 8. He's saying, this is what you need to do. Right? And then he goes on, of course, we saw you're going to do this by repetition. It's just going to be who you are. Right? It's just going to be, you know, hey, it's 4:40 Sunday night, you know, based on who I am in Christ. I'm meeting with my brethren. You know, it's Wednesday at 7. Where am I going to be? Well, I'm meeting with my brethren. We're doing a Bible study. That's just part of who I am. Right? And again, we're doing it with the right reasons. And so when we're looking at this, I want us to notice these words that we see here. But first, I really like this quote, and it wasn't attributed to anybody. So I'll just say a wise man once said. He said, "The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they're too strong to be broken." And I really like that. And you think about it, habit is just, it's really just learned behavior. You know, it's almost muscle, it becomes muscle memory. And if any of you do a lot of shooting, I know we got a few folks here that do a lot of shooting. You know, the whole point in doing what you're doing, like with your draw, if you're talking about a pistol, you're developing muscle memory. And so it just becomes automatic, right? And so if you're in a stressful situation, you need to use that tool. It's just, you know, your muscle memory just takes over, right? So it's like that. And so Paul here actually begins with some optimistic instructions. So let's back up to verse 4, and we're just going to read down here a little bit, and then we're going to jump to verse 8 and really focus on that. So I do want to get a little more context. And by the way, you remember a sermon from chapter 3 not too long ago? I think I titled it Your Spiritual House. Remember chapter 3? Paul was saying, basically, God cleans our spiritual house. You remember that? We talked about the episode of hoarders, right? So God cleans our spiritual house, and the imperative is there that now we fill that now clean spiritual house with godly furniture. Because if we don't put good stuff in it, Satan's going to try to move that bad filth right back in, right? So that's chapter 3. And so chapter 4 here, similar in some ways, right? Here's some of that good furniture. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm in verse 4, chapter 4. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So a little context there. Here's good godly furniture to move in that clean spiritual house. And then he attaches verse 7, of course, right? In the peace of God surpasses all understanding, right? So then we get to that. And so just be reminded there of a little bit of context. One more thing here, looking at verse 8. Make sure I'm... So New King James here says whatever, right? You see that repeated. King James, I believe, says whatsoever. It's a very interesting word in the Greek, hasos. And whenever it's used multiple times, it's meant to intensify the meaning. And so when we see it again and again and again, it's almost like a shouting, right? Whatsoever things are. And he's really intensifying the teaching here. And I want us to be aware of that. You know, kind of think of it as yelling louder and louder to reinforce point as it continues here, right? Things that we need to learn, right? This learned behavior. So number one, the first one, it all begins with truth, right? Whatsoever or whatever's true, you know, whatever's worthy of credit, right? And so when we consider truth, we consider what is verifiable, what is indisputable fact, right? Jesus is truth, right? Jesus is truth personified, John 14 and verse 6, right? And we did a lesson on that not long ago. Remember, I'm all about repetition and overlap. So now that takes it out of the arena of being subjective. When I know that truth is a person of Jesus Christ, it's not going to change. Right? Jesus is truth. So, you know, this is what I need to meditate on right here. You know, we see in the book of John, we see that truth is made synonymous with light. John 3 and verse 21, that he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. In chapter 4, verse 23, we're told to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But here in John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Right? That's that first of three proofs of discipleship in the book of John. You abide in his word, chapter 13, you love one another, right? And then you stay attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, chapter 15. Right? And so truth here is what we learn that will set us free from the bondage of sin, right? You know, and remember there in John 14 and verse 6, right? It tells us that, you know, this is our God of peace, right? I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, he's truth, right? This is the God of peace that we have access to gain the peace of God. So number one, whatsoever is true. Number two, whatever is noble or honorable, depending on your translation. This is going to lead us to the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that's going to guard our hearts and our minds. Romans 12, in verse 17, we learn of what it means to be honorable. It says, never pay back evil to anyone, right? Respect what is right in the eyes of other men, right? So just basically behaving properly with honor, right? That's how we are to behave, right? That's, you know, Marines marching like Marines, so sailors want to be Marines. Us walking worthy, so those on the outside, you know, that they're going to be drawn to what we have in Christ. And so we give honor and dignity to others. You know, we call judges your honor for a reason, right? Because these are the folks that are supposed to dispense justice with all equality of the law. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 is about us as servants of God and being vessels of honor. That was our theme for last year, if you remember. And then one more, Proverbs 8. Actually, I think I want to read, I think that's verse 7, really. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All utterances of my mouth are honorable or noble. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them, right? This is a noble Christian habit. And it doesn't matter where we're at. You know, when we're dealing with the cashier over there at Walmart or Food Saver or whatever, right? We're going to be honorable. We're going to treat everybody respectable. And this is going to lead us to our God of peace and to the peace of God. All right, next one, whatsoever is just. Whatsoever is just or right. I think some translations have right there. But this means righteous, right? What's right in the eyes of God. Having just or righteous habits gives us a peace of God. In Proverbs 2 and or 21 and verse 3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Right? So the Lord would rather us do what is right, what is just, than to do some superficial sacrifice. Right? And this is a godly habit. Right? We're meditating on these things. We're thinking about it. And it's just who we are. Right? And all of these things that we're looking at, these are based on who we are in Christ. It's never based on who somebody else is. What they do or don't do, right, wrong, or indifferent. Right? These are things that we do based on who we are in Christ. Right? So we learn these good habits here. And the next one is whatsoever is pure. And this is a big one. The idea here, of course, is being free from sin. Modest, innocent, clean. This is the idea of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, lifted up holy hands to God. Right? That passage in its context is not talking about literally lifting your physical hands in the air to God. It's talking about this right here, having a pure, you know, a lifestyle before God. Let me look at, real quick here before we go to the next one, Psalm 119. I want you to note this, and if you do have your Bible, I encourage you to go back here. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11. So a question is asked in this. All right, so think about whatsoever's pure, or modest, innocent, chaste, clean, right? Those things lead us to the peace of God and the God of peace. So a question is asked here in this text in Psalm 119. You know, how can a young man cleanse his ways? Well, he tells us the answer. if you just kind of look through this, you know, taking heed of God's word with one's whole heart so as to not wander from God's commandments by taking God's word and hiding it or treasuring it in the heart. And so we have a good roadmap right here just in this psalm, in these handful of verses. Right, that's what this word means. Right, we're seeking God's guidance to keep us pure. Right, I'm going to meditate on it. That's going to be a good habit. And when I do fall down, when I do fail in this area, because we're all going to, right? And I know the more and more we mature in the faith, the less and less we're going to fail at this. Right, we're going to have good, honest, humble hearts before God. You know, God, I messed up. Right? Because we don't want to get to that point, Ephesians chapter 4, remember verse 17 through 19, of being past feeling. Where we don't hurt that we hurt God with our sin, right? And so, well, God's so gracious, I can just keep doing this, He'll just keep forgiving me. Listen, you're going to get to that point where you're going to move past feeling, like those folks in Jeremiah 6. You know, it doesn't say that they didn't even know how to blush, or they didn't blush, they didn't even know how to blush, right? They were past feeling. And so this is one of the big ones that we've got to keep working on constantly. Philippians, actually back in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, says so that you may approve the things that are excellent, or your translation might say essential, so that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So this tells us that we're to develop these habits that are modest, innocent, blameless, pure, right? These things are essential to gain the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And again, I think this is the hardest one, because we just live in a world of sin. You know how Paul in 1 Timothy 4, in verse 2, right, speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared as with a hot iron, right? You know, we have so many sinful things around us in our culture that, you know, if we don't continuously work on removing those impure things, those destructive things, or limit them greatly in our lives, we're never going to know the peace of God, right? We're never going to know the peace of God, right? If you're binge watching some filthy show on Netflix, right, what are you doing? You're allowing that filth into your home and into your mind, right? You're not living this out. Right? So in all areas. And I know there's certain things that, you know, we just have to deal with in our culture, right? But you want to mitigate those things. Mitigate your exposure might be a good way to look at that. You know, don't let them get so close and linger. We can't be naive in these areas. All right, number 5, whatsoever things are lovely will allow us to access the peace of God. And this is a very interesting word here. Prosphales is this word. It's a two-part, I'm going to make myself sound kind of nerdy here, prepositional verb. Pros means toward. And the phileis is, might sound familiar, brotherly love, right? Like Philadelphia, but the city of brotherly love. So toward brotherly love is what this word means. In a very literal sense, it's friendly towards. Kind of help us maybe understand this a little bit better. And this is the idea of having a beauty that appeals to the heart and mind. Right, having a great moral and spiritual beauty. You know, if someone was to describe you, would it be, hey, they're lovely. You know, what a great way to describe a Christian. You know, and what's interesting also, every search of this word that I did, I found that this word almost always refers to physical appearance. I didn't really know what to take from that. You know, I think probably, you know, we just need to be careful how people see us, right? How we dress, how we act, right? And, you know, we must only seek that which is attractive to God's standards. First Timothy 2 and verse 9, I think, is a good place, maybe. Now, remember, First Timothy is all about God's house laws. Right? If you be in my house, here's the laws. And so this part here to women, he says in verse 9, chapter 2, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel and propriety and moderation, right? That's moderate modesty, discretion. Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, right? So the point is this, you know, don't let your dress be what attracts people to you, right? Rather, let it be your inner beauty of faith which leads you to the God of peace, right? So this one is very interesting one, probably worthy of a whole lesson by itself. All right, number 6, kind of running out of time here. Whatsoever is of good report. Now, I do want to go back to Proverbs chapter 3 for this. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 1 through 7. All right, so whatever is of praise, whatever is of commendation, good report, it's going to lead us to the peace of God. And I appreciate this in Proverbs. Begin in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, a long life, and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So basically you're seeking that which is of good report, as the New King James says, and that's going to, you know, lead you closer to the God of peace and the peace of God. And so I want you to note here, back in our study text, so Paul finishes these good habits that we are to seek with saying, if there's any virtue, right, if there's anything praiseworthy, he's talking about that which is excellent in the eyes of God, right? That of good quality. He says, meditate on these things, right? True, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Let your mind dwell as much as possible on these God-ordained habits, right? And if you do this, what's he telling us? Well, if you do this, you can be with the God of peace, right? Maintaining and developing the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard your hearts, guard your mind. And so then he drives home this point here in verse 9. Right? I read it a couple times already. I want to read it again just so we kind of understand what Paul's saying here. So these things, well, what things? Well, we just talked about it. You know, true, just, noble, pure, lovely, good report, right? These things which you've learned and received and heard and saw, right? All aspects here, you know. Learn means literally, of course, you're that emethete, you're learning by habit. Received means to receive as a matter of instruction, right? God's given us this written body of information right here, right? To learn, live, and love. Heard, right? And so they're getting some more teaching, right? Whether it was Apostle Paul or the others are getting some teaching there, right? And so you're gonna take hold of that teaching, and you're gonna accept it in your mind, right? There's a mental acceptance of these things. And seeing here, of course, is the idea of taking the note of the appearance of something. Pay attention. So he says, these do, that passeate there, you're going to learn by repetition. Right? So in all of this teaching here, we're being told to take note of the instructions of good habits. Right? And so we've got to be intentional in our faith to gain and maintain the peace of God. Like we said this morning, we're not going to accidentally make it to heaven. We have to be intentional. Right? Almost only counts in hand grenades, shotguns, and mortars. Right? And so we got to put this godly furniture in from chapter 3 Right? We're training our minds. We're building up muscle memory. So when sin does come, or as Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount, when the floods do come, the rains do come, right? We're going to have our house on that solid foundation of the words of Jesus. Right? So when sin does come, we're ready. It's going to be natural muscle memory, spiritual muscle memory in how we defeat that sin in our lives. Because Satan's not going to give up. So here's our conclusion. Let's read verses 10 through 13 as our conclusion here, and then the lesson is yours. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. But that I speak, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, that's that same word there, emetheite, in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be based. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned, emetheite, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. No matter what situation I'm in. Now remember, he's writing this from prison. Right? And remember the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness based on happenings. He's in bad happenstances right now, bad happenings. But he has the joy of the Lord. He's saying, no matter what state I'm in, I'm okay, right? Well, because I believe that Paul, right, what he's teaching here, he put into practice in his life. And so he's able to then turn around and teach them, teach us about that. And so I think that's very important. So then he can make that statement, and so can we in verse 13. Now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? And he strengthens me through his revealed word, my willingness to take it in and put it into practice. Right? That's living the sanctified life. So this evening, if there's anyone here that's subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you begin that journey. If you're not sure, would you please let one of the elders know, let me know. Let's sit down and open up the Word of God. And I want you to see for yourself. Right? This isn't me just saying these things. I want you to read it for yourself. That these things come from God. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, the call is for you to be immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you developed bad spiritual habits and you recognize that. You're honest about that. I want to start over. Right? What a great, wonderful way to end the day to see someone reconciled to God. So if it can help you in any way, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.